Here we are again gathered to worship the Lord our God. We are on day 35, nearing the finish line of our 40 days of prayer and fasting. So, thanks so much. Sorry about that. I make mistakes sometimes. So I just want to encourage you to keep going. If you've been offering up extra prayers to the Lord, praise God for that. If you've let some of your commitments drop, rein it in, people. Come on. We're getting close to the finish line. If you haven't done much and you haven't invested much in this, it's not too late to start. It's prayer. We can pray anytime while we have breath. So let's go over our church memory verse this morning as we get started. And we'll just say these together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. All right, we should be getting close with this one. If you've given any effort to this, you are probably getting close with it. And when you get it, what you need to do is go out on that bulletin board out there, and there's a little heart, and you write your name on that heart after you've had Shauna or maybe Ashley or myself listen to you say that verse. And then you put it on that board. You can pick one of your favorite parts of love and put it near that, or something you're working on, put it near that. All right. And because we work so hard on it, and I don't want you to forget it, let's go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Will you say this one with me as well? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Yes, Lord Jesus, please, we pray. All right, well, let me remind you, hey, a Nerf thing up here on the... There have been battles going on around here, apparently. Just by way of reminder of where we covered these last couple weeks, we talked about the importance of persistence. To live a spiritually fruitful life for the Lord, it's going to take us learning and growing in persistent efforts. So we talked about persistence in forgiveness, first of all, from Luke 17. Giving grace to one another, choosing not to hold a grudge, choosing not to withdraw and distance ourselves. Typically, when human beings are upset about something, we manage the situation two different ways. We either attack or we withdraw. And that's both the wrong thing to do as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We don't allow grudges to remain. We don't allow resentment and unforgiveness to be a part of what we don't shy away from the hard conversations when we need to have them. When we persist in forgiveness, it grows the depth of our community. It's beyond just surface level casual. It allows us to get to a place where love can actually grow. Love of people that are not like us, who think different than us, who have different opinions than us sometimes. Beneath the Lord, who helps unite us and pull us all together by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. So, persistence in service. We become the kind of servants that take creative initiative and are not just ticking the boxes of obligation, doing the minimum requirements, waiting, standing around waiting to be told what to do. Well, if the Lord wants me, He knows where He can find me. That is not the kind of disciple who gets a thank from their master. But the one who is thanked by their master is the one who knows the will of the master and is willing to engage and actually do the things they know the master would like. We commit ourselves to serving the Lord and serving His church even when others give up and circumstances are difficult. If you're in love with this church and you think this is a perfect church, I'm so happy. And I hate to pop that bubble. We're not a perfect church. We have a few issues that we're working on. But we have great hope. You know why? Because we serve a perfect Lord. And we keep at it. And we are learning to do it better. And it's not always going to be easy for us, and we're not always going to be feeling it, but we keep doing good as we're able to do good in this place because the Lord's worth it. And our commitment is to Him. And the truth is, Jesus had said some very lofty things about His church. It's His body. It's His bride. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we collectively are also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Timothy language, we're called the family of God. And when you withdraw from the family of God and the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, you're distancing yourself from your Savior. And church isn't always fun and it's not always easy, but when we persist with one another, it grows our faith. It grows us. And so as we continue our discussion today, we're looking at persistence in prayer and persistence in humility. And we find these texts, these parabolic texts in Luke chapter 18. So persistence in prayer. Well, after teaching about forgiveness in chapter 17, Jesus begins the 18th chapter with this story about prayer. And it's actually one of my favorite little parables about Jesus because I can just picture it so clearly. And it shows the power of persistence. So let's dig into our text for this morning. One day Jesus told His disciples a story to show them that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came and repeatedly saying, "Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy." The judge ignored her for a while. So Jesus is describing what kind of judge? A corrupt one. A corrupt one. A crooked judge. Doesn't care about justice particularly. There's no fear of God. Doesn't necessarily want to be helpful to people. This is the kind of judge that probably is well-to-do. Because people, if they want His attention, they've had to do things to make it worth His time. Probably, no doubt, rich. And everyone would, in Jesus' audience, understood the reality of the situation in the first century there for what a widow's life was like. The vulnerability of a widow. The widows represent the poorest of the poor. On a social pecking order, they're at the very bottom in terms of access to resources, in terms of leveraging power. Widows are at the very bottom of the scale. Everyone in the first century knew about the vulnerability of widows, and everyone knew about the power that judges had and what they wielded, that power. Well, it goes on in our story to say this. The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, "I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." Can you just picture this scene unfolding? What power does the widow have? She's a powerless person. But what power is she wielding here? Asking. Leave me alone. Go away. Be quiet. Asking. Again and again and again and again. And at the beginning it says he ignored her. He was probably thinking, who's this widow bothering me? I don't have time to waste on her. And then he realizes at some point, this lady is not going to give up. I don't care who she is. She can give me nothing. But I am so annoyed by her wasting my time that I'm going to make sure she gets what she needs. I'm going to take care of this situation. The widow overcomes the corruption and power of the judge in the power of persistence. She just wouldn't let the matter drop. She's driving this guy crazy. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? This is a hypothetical situation. Can you imagine having a child that keeps asking you for something over and over again, even when they've gotten clear answers? No. No. No, stop asking. No, do not ask me that again. If you ask me that again, XYZ is going to happen. XYZ happens. And that takes care of it, right? They just keep bringing things up until it drives you crazy sometimes. So the story goes on. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? So Jesus is using a common type of rabbinical argument. It's called, argument from the lesser to the greater. You can say a truth about the lesser thing that's more known. If this is true about this, then how much more this greater thing? If a corrupt judge will give justice just because he's annoyed, how much more will a good God give justice to people that he loves, who keep asking him over and over again? What Jesus is doing in this parable is he's calling out the tendency of so many of us, especially in our prayer lives, to just give up and stop asking. We stop asking before we even get an answer. We stop asking and we've moved on as soon as we've said the amen sometimes. It's out of our minds. We stop knocking. We stop seeking. And often God will not answer our prayers immediately because he's trying to grow something in us. He's trying to grow persistence, yes. But he's also trying to grow you into the kind of person that when the answer comes, you'll be able to handle that answer. He wants us to grow. There are a lot of people out there who call themselves Christians, but they don't pray. They don't pray much. Other than the dead formal prayers that they say maybe at a meal sometimes, maybe before bed, maybe there's a little more honesty there, maybe an occasional prayer that they get to utter at church for some people, but otherwise they really don't pray. And a person doesn't pray because they don't think prayer really changes anything. That's why you don't pray. Some people even say things like, isn't God good? Isn't he know what he's going to do already? And isn't he going to work for good already? Almost like it's a little blasphemous for us to ask God more than once when we're not getting what we want. And so sometimes we pray like we're sticking quarters in the vending machine. And after about 15 seconds, I put my prayer in the machine. Nothing's popping out now. I guess the prayer answer machine is empty. This vending machine's empty. And then on we go. And that's not what Jesus is teaching us. He's teaching us, you keep shaking that machine. Go get an axe and break that puppy open. And so he says this statement at the end of this teaching. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith? And Jesus says this last line because there is a connection between faith and persistent prayer. Prayer grows faith, and faith grows our desire to pray more. Our desire to speak with God, our desire to wrestle with God and discuss the issues of our heart with God in prayer. Faith allows that to happen. So I don't know a nice way to say this. This is not a politically correct statement. But the reason why your prayer life stinks, and this is not true for all of you. Some of you have amazing prayer lives. But if you don't, it's because your faith is so small. Are you giving God anything to work with in your prayer life? Even just faith like a little child, at least they know to not give up asking. They can keep asking again and again and again. God doesn't need much. You see how big a mustard seed is? But at least the truth about a mustard seed is it grows. It might be a little starting point. Are you giving the Lord a little starting point that He can grow something? But Jesus is calling out this tendency of us to give up so quickly. And we even make excuses up in our prayers. Lord, if you happen to want to help out with this, this would be really nice, but we know you're going to do what you're going to do, and we'll just have to be okay with it. And it's kind of like on the CB, over and out. He's going to do what he's going to do. I'm going to go my way and do what I'm going to do. I don't know when I don't know if truckers really do this, but when I was a kid, we used to pretend to be truckers or something. 10-4, good buddy. Maybe I got that from the Dukes of Hazzard. I don't know. It's all in my childhood somewhere. 10-4, God. He's going to do what he's going to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And sometimes we don't even really want an answer. Because if he answers, it's going to change what I have to do. Well, Jesus has more teaching on this idea of persistence in prayer. Teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night, and my family and I are here, all in bed. I can't help you. Back in the first century, it's not an easy thing to lock up and for the night and all that. It's more like barricading yourself in for the night. And it's not a convenient thing. The kids were all around, you know, the animals are in the house. Everything's battened down the hatches kind of stuff. So it's very inconvenient to be bothered with something like this. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. And so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Don't give up. Shameless persistence. Can you think of people who were shamelessly persistent in the Bible? I had two stories come to mind right away. The first one is from Mark's Gospel. It's this blind guy. I think his name was Bartimaeus. And he's sitting there and he hears that Jesus is coming by. And so he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And what happens? Everyone is standing around trying to hush him up. Shh. If he was going to do something, he would have done it by now. Please be quiet. You're embarrassing yourself and others. I don't know what people were saying to hush him and get him to quiet down. But if you read that text, what does he do? He throws off his cloak. He cries out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He doesn't give up. He keeps at it. You know, I think of another shameless guy in the Bible. Who's another shameless guy? Do you remember anything about Jacob? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob was a shady guy. He was a shameless kind of guy. Jacob was basically a con man parading as a patriarch. He was a patriarch. He was also kind of a con man. He was a heel grabber. He's a usurper. He's an inheritance stealer. The guy was shameless. And Jesus is saying, that's how you go after the Heavenly Father. That's how you pray to the Lord your God. And your prayer life should be like Jacob wrestling with God, the way he wrestles with the angel of God's presence. He keeps wrestling all night long. He refuses to give up. Shameless persistence. And he says, "I will not let you go, Lord, until you bless me." Keeping at him. And I know that some of you guys have been wrestling with God for a long time. Wrestling with God to receive a blessing. And if you're wrestling with God for that blessing is for the heart of someone you love, that's not an easy thing. And it's no small thing you're asking from God. Because God doesn't break hearts by force. He woos and he invites. How many of you wives have been praying for years for your non-believing spouse? How many of you parents have been praying for years for your kids who've walked away from faith? How many of you have been praying for a loved one who's become a slave to some kind of addiction? And sometimes it's heartbreaking, and it feels like you're not getting anywhere. And it feels like nothing is ever going to change. But you, brothers and sisters of mine, you keep on praying and you don't give up. Do you hear me? Don't give up. Keep wrestling with God in prayer. Keep at Him and do not let Him go until He blesses you. And I tell you that just like Jacob, by the time you get your answer, you're not going to be the same person. You're praying for your loved one to change. But by the time you get your answer, you're going to be changed too. Like Jacob, if you keep at God long enough, you will walk with a limp. And that's the limp of faith. And you're not going to be the same person because you've learned to be an overcomer together with God. You've learned to strive with God and with men and to overcome. A co-worker with God in prayer. Most people give up on things they ask from God before they get their answer from Him because honestly they don't care enough about it. But there is a power that can keep a person praying over and over again. And you don't give up. This is the power that will keep a person praying for decades. And the only power that I know that is strong enough to sustain that kind of prayer, a kind of prayer that will not quit, is the power of love. You know the aspects that we've been praying of love. Perseverance is a part of love. It always perseveres. Love never fails. That's how our memory verse ends. Always perseveres. You see, if you love someone enough, you're going to persevere in prayer for them. Why? Because love keeps you on the hook. You keep going and you keep persevering even when you don't feel like it and it feels like nothing is ever going to change because the truth is you don't have another choice. Because your love has already made that decision for you. Love has decided. And so you pray again and again and again. Jesus teaches this kind of persistence, this shameless persistence in pursuing God in prayer in four different places that I found. And I don't expect you to be able to read this. Two of them are similar. Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, it's talking about if you who are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. If your children ask for something, you're not going to give them, when they ask for bread, you're not going to give them a rock. And in Luke's version, it says, when they ask for an egg, you're not going to give them a scorpion. Here, little David, have fun with this. And it's one of those, how much more then, your Heavenly Father, kind of from lesser to greater rabbinic kind of argument. If you, though, in your brokenness and your twisted thinking, if you, in that state, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is your Heavenly Father? And then this persistence of your friend is not going to get up and give you bread because You're knocking on his door and you guys are good buddies. But because you don't give up. Your shameless persistence. The persistence of that widow. That judge is going to make sure she gets justice and swiftly. How much more a God who loves you will He grant you justice against your adversaries? All of these kinds of teachings about the importance and persistence of prayer. All right. Let's talk about the persistence that we need in humility. The persistence that we need in humility. My friend Dallas says this, humility is one of the main ingredients in prayer because humility shows dependence on God. When we're not praying, it can be because we have more confidence in ourselves than in God. Despite all our failures, we keep thinking, I can handle this. I can work this out. Rather than crying out, Lord, help me. We do this kind of stuff all the time. We do it with each other and we do it with God. I'm mature enough. I'm strong enough. I've got this. I don't want to bother anyone with my problems. They've got enough problems of their own. I don't want to be a burden. You ever hear that? I didn't want to bother you with this, Lord. You know. Self-sufficiency comes from our individualism, and it is a form of pride. It's your pride. Your broken pride that keeps you from crying out to the Lord. Humility is the solution to that. So Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. I like the way the NLT, New Living Translation, translated that. So Jesus tells this story. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. All right. I don't think the Pharisee has said anything wrong yet. I don't think he's actually sinned yet. I don't think it's wrong to pray about yourself before the Lord. If you can't be honest about where you're at with the Lord, that's a problem. It's not even wrong to thank God that you're not like other people. And it's not wrong to be thankful that you're not ensnared in certain addictions or sins. I'm glad I'm not enslaved to theft. Isn't it a good thing that your preacher's not a kleptomaniac? I think so. It's not wrong to be thankful that you're not a person who does premeditated evil of some kind. It's not wrong to be thankful to God that you've been faithful and you've not been an adulterer. And then he even goes on to say this, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. That's not a bad thing. Is it bad to tithe or to give a portion of your income to the Lord? It's a good and honorable thing that he's talking about. He's just stating what he does. But here is where he stumbles. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. In the second part of verse 11, the Pharisee reveals the filth of his own heart when he looks at the man next to him with disdain. And you can hear the scorn, you can hear the contempt come gushing out. Jesus is using this teaching to show a stark contrast between a prideful heart and a broken or humble heart. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. It's the one who humbled himself before the Lord. Jesus is showing us the connection between humility and prayer. This is the connection between humility and prayer. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What humility does is it gets pride out of the way. So we can be present as we really are before the Lord our God. And the words that we pray are the honest words that come from the heart. Not the performance words, not the showy words. The reality of who we are before the Lord. Humility allows us to get ourselves out of the way enough that we can actually connect with God in our prayers. Many times our prayers are dialed into our needs and our wants and our desires. Lord, give me this. I need this. Help me with this. And even our intercessory prayer and dialed in for the problem situations in my life, the needs of my friends and people I love, the needs of our church. And we're striving to pray good things and we're wrestling with God in prayer. And these are all good things, but do you ever stop long enough to realize, oh, God, here you are. Oh yeah, I'm talking to you about all this stuff. You ever stop long enough to actually notice God in your prayers? Humility allows us and enables us to stop trusting only in ourselves and depend on God and God's servants. It opens the door for true relationship and fellowship to happen. Well, that's our sermon. Persistence, persistence, persistence. We keep at things like forgiveness. We keep at our service. We keep at our prayers. And we keep this idea of humility, humbling ourselves before the Lord, ever before us and in front of us. Our persistent efforts to freely forgive, our persistent efforts to serve wholeheartedly, our persistent efforts to pray without giving up, humility to regard others as better than ourselves. These things will certainly grow our faith and our dependence on God. And as faith grows, our confidence in God's goodness grows. Our trust grows. Everything that we need, He brings to us as we keep at the Lord our God. So here's my last words to you, church. Shamelessly keep at God and do not give up. Don't give in. In the power of the Holy Spirit, you keep going. In the power of love, you keep going. And the Lord our God, what does He say to us? You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And you allow your, you keep at it long enough and you allow your, the Lord your God to grow your heart, you will see the righteousness of God. You will see justice against your adversaries. I'll let Paul have the last word. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up, church. We're just getting started. All right, if you need prayers from this church, if there's some way that we can help you, and if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, that way of beginning the life of discipleship with Jesus Christ, if there's some way that we can be of service to you, you can find me up here. Mark's going to come up here, and let's go ahead and stand and sing our invitation song together.
Good morning, church family. It's nice to see you here. I'm glad to see visitors here. Please stay around a while after church and let us get to know you. Right now we're going to do something we do. We give a Bible out to those who have been baptized recently. And right now we have Sophie and Nate, and they're giving them a Bible because they were recently baptized. And Norm, can you give a short prayer for them? Well, it's nice to see Bernie and Mary. They're back. Nice to see you guys. And it's nice to see Vern, too. Been sick for a while, but he's back. He made it. We have lots of announcements, but here in the bulletin, you can read about those that are sick and different things that are going on in the church right now. We have a grief support group. And they're going to be having a meeting on Tuesday, February the 24th at 12:30 p.m. They're planning on having this meeting every other week to support those who are having grief in their life. And if you want any information about that, talk to Nancy Case or Denise Foreman. Okay, we're going to, in the last week of celebrating our 40 days of prayer and fasting, and coming up on the 21st at 9 a.m. is a breakfast and a potluck at the Gruens. Oh, please bring something that you enjoy together, and drinks will be provided. On Sunday, February the 22nd, we're going to have a picture day. We're going to meet out in the woods. If you want to get your picture taken, they request that the deacons and elders in Calvin come out. They say this is mandatory. You have to be there. Okay? Okay. Anyway, we'll see. Coming up is a church family retreat, April the 10th through the 12th. If you're interested, talk to Mackenzie. It'll be an amazing bonding weekend for the congregation. The cost is $40 for individuals, $80 for couples and families. And then we have a men's retreat coming up, Camp Yamhill, March 12th through March 14th. Contact Jonathan if you're interested in going to that. And Karina is much better from her burn. She thanks you for all the prayers and the care that you showed to her. Marina asked for prayers to recover quickly from a cold and sinus infection. It is keeping her from the services today. So, be praying for them. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here today to worship you and to learn more about your word. Help us to love our family here, and help us to love you and respect you and revere you knowing that you're our all-powerful God. And thank you for Jesus who died on that cruel cross to give us hope to be with you if we do as you said. In Jesus' name, amen.
As our closing song, I picked Just a Little Talk with Jesus. Usually I sing this song before prayers, but today I thought, well, we'll get it in here so it gets stuck in your head, so maybe you'll think to talk to Jesus and pray. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. He will hear our faintest cries and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer for yearning as your heart into heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my path seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mist of sin may rise and hide the starry sky, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the way. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cries and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer for yearning as your heart to heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer, he knows my every care, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. Hear our faintest cries. Answer by and by. Feel a little prayerful yearning as your heart to heaven is turning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You are dismissed. Have a great day.